Amen? Obey God above all else. Okay, on our Christmas message, I'm going to do quite a bit of reading from the scripture in Matthew and Luke. I titled this, The Prophetic Baby. The birth of Jesus is a very prophetic thing, a very important part of our Christian theology. Last week, I was in Kumpis for a couple of days, and I picked up a Charisma magazine that was exactly a year old. It was a December issue, 2014. And I picked it up, and I read an article that just really began to speak to my heart. And it was a short article by one of the authors or writers that writes regularly for the Charisma magazine. And he was giving his personal testimony as to what Christmas meant to him. And he started out by saying, as a child, Christmas was truly the happiest time of the year. He said, for me, Christmas was just absolute positive, always wonderful. He said, I loved the tinsel and the mistletoe and the Christmas trees and the gifts, and I loved the sled and the snow and the Santa and the Santa Claus and the little helper elves. And he said, I just really made a big deal out of Christmas. I just loved it. But he said, one day at 18 years of age, by the way, this man lived and was born and lived in the United States of America, Christian nation. At 18 years of age, he happened to find himself in a church where they were reading the story of the Nativity. And at 18 years of age, he made a connection he had never made in all of his life of 18 years. And he realized that Christmas was connected to the Lord Jesus Christ in his birth. In 18 years of Christmas, celebrating it in every way, he had never made the connection. No one had ever helped him connect. What is Christmas? How does it connect to the Lord Jesus and his birth? And that really stirred my heart for those in the American scene that are supposedly Christian, that like this young man have never heard the real reason we celebrate, never heard the real reason we give gifts, never heard the real reason. It's hard for me to imagine being 18 years of age and never making a connection of Jesus Christ to Christmas. And yet that was his testimony. And so if nothing else sticks to you today, I want this to go inside of you and stay. And that is that we celebrate Jesus and his birth because it is biblical and it has deep roots in our Christian theology. Amen. Let's start first in Matthew chapter 1. We plan to put some scriptures on the board for you. I'll be using the New King James Version of the Bible today. It's the one that Paul used. Paul who? Everybody say, I love Christmas because I celebrate Jesus. Where are we? Verse 18 is where we're starting. If that matches up with my notes. We're going to go down through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. I have to congratulate Joseph for being this man of the strongest and most daring faith that ever lived. The daring faith, the strength of faith that he had in these words. That is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine? Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. I want to remind you of a scripture that Barbara read a few minutes ago when she was up here. One of the names of the son born, according to the prophet Isaiah, one of his names was the Everlasting Father. And here we have the angel bringing one of his names as Emmanuel, which translates God with us. You'll notice here that even in the midst of this son being born, the name given was not that a son of God was being born, but that God himself was with us through this birth. You need to understand that the Lord Jesus is God. He's the Son, and he is God. It's just hard for the natural mind to grasp these things, but God with us is his name. Goes beyond the Son with us. Verse 24, then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took to him his wife. And he did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Beautiful. Jesus came to save his people from their sins. Did you know that that's what you need to be saved from? If you talk to someone about being saved and use that terminology, if they're not familiar with church terminology, they say, you say I need to be saved. Saved from what? Well, my response usually is, well, you need to be saved from yourself, first of all. But the Word of God shows us that we need to be saved from sin. And someone that's in sin knows that down deep in their heart. Every sinner knows that they need to be saved from sin. Because whether they want to admit it or not, they realize they've got a problem, and sin is the problem. Well, Jesus is the only solution to that problem. And he came for the purpose of saving us from sin. Let's go to chapter 2. We're still in Matthew, chapter 2, and I'm going to read the whole chapter. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. In reading in Matthew and Mark, especially in the accounts of the birth of Jesus, you'll find a number of places where various events or stages of his birth were fulfillment of prophecy. When the Bible prophesies something, you can take it to the bank. It's going to happen. And multitudes of prophecies have already come to pass over the centuries and the millenniums. And those that have not come to pass will. They will come to pass. For one thing, it was prophesied that Jesus would come, and he did. It was prophesied that he would leave, and he did. It was prophesied that he will come again, and he will. You can take it to the bank. Hope your bankers are Christians so you'll know what you're doing. In verse 7, when Herod had secretly called the wise men, he determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. When you found him, bring back word to me so that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. When they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Verse 13, now when they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. You know, we really focus on the joy of Christmas and the joy of the birth, but they were going through some really tough times. If you can imagine having a baby that is evidently promised of God, a baby that is prophetic, a baby that's fulfilling prophecy in his very birth and the events surrounding it. And then that the king head man of the land, the authority of the land, puts out word to kill that baby. Can you imagine the trauma that Joseph and Mary were going through? Jesus' birth brought joy, but it also brought a great traumatic condition to the hearts of those involved. But trauma and hard times did not prevent what God was bringing to pass. And trauma and tough times in these days will not prevent what God intends to bring to pass. In verse 14, when he arose and took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I've called my son. Another prophecy coming to pass. Verse 16, this is not a joyful Christmas story in this verse, but it's part of the story. Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. And then it was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. It cost something for Jesus to come. It cost something for him to come. Verse 19, when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose and he took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. When he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth. Watch this, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets. He should be called a Nazarene. Do you see the beauty of all this prophecy? And now we're going to go to Luke chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I guess I have a certain amount of question in my thinking about this angel of the Lord that kept appearing in a dream. It's like every time Joseph needed to have direction, the Lord gave it to him in the form of a dream, and the angel would appear in the dream. And I received that. I accept it. I believe it with all my heart. But my question is, who was the angel? What was his name? I'll find out one day. Now, in Luke chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 26 through 38. Everybody's real quiet this morning. It's because you're listening, right? Now, in the sixth month of the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph and of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, and blessed are you among women. Verse 29, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, considered what manner of greeting was this. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. I don't know what Mary did, but if that happened to me, my knees would crumble right there. Verse 31, the angel tells her, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and she'll call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. And therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. And then Mary said, and this is what we all need to say, when God's speaking to your heart, and God's leading you to do something or leading you not to do something, when God's on the scene trying to help you with decisions, this is what we say, that her response should be ours. Ours should be hers. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. I wish I had the talent, the anointing, the expertise, the words, the vocabulary to somehow get through to all of us the importance of this account, this historical account of the birth of the Lord Jesus, the angelic and divine events leading up to it and following close behind it. In many of the programming that we help with in Mexico, many of those programs we sponsor, they do the actual nativity drama. And they'll dress the children up like the angel and Mary and Joseph and the wise men and the shepherds. And they follow through the story with little children's drama. And I know that's traditional and it's old, but it's the greatest story ever told. It's the greatest story ever told. And I love the dramas that we have, the dramas that the kids put on today had such a beautiful message. Lexi has a beating heart now instead of a ticking one. We all could use some of that. But let's never forget the importance of this Bible story and the drama that it can present us. I've never been to a major presentation of this sort of thing, but they tell me that some churches go all out, bring in real camels and real donkeys and all. Have you ever been to anything like that? Can you imagine? That would be awesome, wouldn't it? I can just see Mark putting together this drama, and one of his prop people would have a scoop shovel following behind the camel. You wonder why, I'll share with it later. Let's go to Luke chapter 2 and read a little bit. Would you like to do that? And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, because which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. I don't know if you've ever been in a manger, but I've spent many hours in a manger milking the cow, feeding the calves. I was raised almost in a manger. I was there so much. And believe me, it smells like that scoop shovel that's following the camel. But I believe that day there was a sweet smell of the incense of the glory of God that overtook the other aromas. Verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them. They were greatly afraid. Do we really want to see angels? I do. I want to see angels. And I believe I have seen, to some extent, I have seen angels in my spirit. But at this event, they were so pronounced in their manifestation that it put fear, the fear of God in everybody. I mean, these guys were trembling at the knees. I wouldn't mind going through that just to see him. Verse 10, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings, good news of great joy, which will be to what? All people. Sooner or later, everybody's going to hear. Maybe they may not all accept, but they're all going to hear. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at the things which were told them by the shepherds. That's interesting. The people heard from the shepherds. The shepherds heard from the heavenly messengers. That's the way it's supposed to be here in this pulpit. The heavenly messenger, in our case, is the Holy Spirit, bringing the word of God. And he gives the shepherds, those that shepherd you and pastor you, the message to give the people. It's a good sequence, isn't it? But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus. And the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Remind me to tell you a story later. I got to stay serious. But when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens a womb should be called holy to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he, Simeon, took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." I love one of the scriptures in Matthew chapter 4 says that, speaking of Christ coming, it says that the whole world and those that sat in darkness saw a great light. And here Simeon prophetically speaks over the child that he will be light, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the people of Israel. God's mission is a worldwide mission. He made them all, every color, every shape, every language, every tongue. He made them all, and he wants to save them all. And our part is to get out there with the message and share the light. Verse 33, and Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him, and Simeon blessed them. They said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Of course, we know this come to pass when Mary saw her son on the cross. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Wouldn't you love to have your name on her prayer list? And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of Jesus, to all those who looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee in their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 1. Praise God. In the beginning was the Word. Now, I can't begin to explain to you where the beginning was. But it was far, far, far earlier than Adam and Eve. Far, far earlier than creation as we know it. The beginning is way back. But who was there? The Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. There's that light again. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Jesus came as a baby. He came as the Son of God. He came as Emmanuel, God with us. He came as light. He came as the Word, and He came as light. In my limited capacity to word this, I try to visualize how the Immaculate Conception took place, how this birth through a virgin took place, how Jesus could be who He is. And the best way I can wrap my mind around it is that God took His Word. Now, if you've read the Genesis account, you know that His Word was what was creating. He spoke, and it was. He spoke, and it was. He spoke, and it was. He spoke, and it came to be. That's how things are. They weren't made out of things that were or are. They were made out of His Word. His Word is creative. And God took the creativeness of His power and the creativeness of Himself, the Word, which is the authority of Himself, and He placed that Word in the womb of a virgin named Mary. If God can make a man out of dust like Adam, He can make a man like Jesus out of His Word. And that's what He did. He made a man. He made a baby called Jesus with His very Word. That baby was His Word. He put His Word in her. And His Word developed and came out of her as a baby. And that's how we have Jesus, the Word. And He was born as a light. In those days, it was dark, very dark. The Roman government was ruling much of the world, ruling over all of Israel at that time. King Herod, who is a puppet of the Roman government, King Herod, of the king over Israel. Here, we just read the account where he murdered hundreds, maybe thousands of baby boys. I mean, this was a dark, dark time. But Jesus came as light. And I believe that the next time we see Jesus, it'll be dark. And I believe He'll come as light. Just like He did the first time. He came as light in darkness, and I believe He'll come in as light in darkness once again. In the meantime, we, connected to Him by His Spirit, we can be the light. Until the great light appears, all of us little lights have a job to do. And our job is to get into the darkest corners of the world and share the gospel. Get into the darkest corners of your neighbor's heart and share the gospel. Get into the darkest corners of your own heart and share the gospel and share the light. There's so much that could be said about Christmas, but it's all wrapped up in Jesus, brother. It's all wrapped up in Jesus. Jesus came as Savior. He came as Emmanuel. He came as Word. He came as light. The next time He comes, He'll come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He said He would come, and He did. He said He'd be back, and He will. Let's all stand. Go ahead and send word for the children to come down to get their gifts. And before they come down, I want you to just close your eyes and put your hand over your heart. I know this may be a little bit religious, but it won't hurt you. Go ahead and put the hand over your heart. It's on your left side. Three people started going side to side trying to figure out what was left. Lord, this heart that's under our hands today wants You. No matter what the head on our shoulders wants, this heart wants You. This heart that's beating under our hand wants to be saved. This heart that's beating under our hand wants to please God. This heart that's under our hands wants to believe the Word of God and wants to believe the truth of the gospel. Wants to believe in the light of the gospel. And I pray, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' precious name, that You will put something in this heart today. An unsatisfied satisfaction. A craving. an ever-being filled craving. It's got to have more of Jesus, more of Jesus, more of Jesus. And I pray that as we go about this world, our jobs and our schooling and all that we do, our shopping, our visiting, that we'll be able to tactfully and in wisdom and in the love of God help people to understand what Christmas is all about. Help us not only to share Jesus, but to be His hand extended. Not only to share the gift, but to be a part of the gift as we give ourselves to those in need. Lord, I'd just like to say Merry Christmas to you, Lord, and to all the heavenly hosts, to all those angels, to all those loved ones that have gone on before us. Merry Christmas, everybody. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Well, turn around and give somebody a hug and a kiss, and then you can take your seat for a few minutes while they get some gifts prepared to pass out for the children. Merry Christmas, everybody. I love you. I love you, brother. Merry Christmas.